veneered with a thin layer of marble, although we know the while what defects the marble conceals. We cheat our own eyesight, and when we have overlaid our ceilings with gold, what else is it but a lie in which we take such delight? For we know that beneath all this gilding there lurks some ugly wood. Nor is such superficial decoration spread merely over walls and ceilings. Nay, all the famous men whom you see strutting about with head in air have nothing but a gold leaf prosperity. Look beneath, and you will know how much evil lies under that thin coating of titles. Note that very commodity which holds the attention of so many magistrates and so many judges, and which creates both magistrates and judges. That money, I say, which ever since it began to be regarded with respect, has caused the ruin of the true honor of things. We become alternately merchants and merchandise, and we ask not what a thing truly is, but what it costs. We fulfill duties if it pays, or neglect them if it pays, and we follow an honorable course as long as it encourages our expectations, ready to veer across to the opposite course if crooked conduct shall promise more. Our parents have instilled into us a respect for gold and silver. In our early years, the craving has been implanted, settling deep within us, and growing with our growth. Then, too, the whole nation, though at odds on every other subject, agrees upon this. This is what they regard. This is what they ask for their children. This is what they dedicate to the gods when they wish to show their gratitude, as if it were the greatest of all man's possessions. And, finally, public opinion has come to such a pass that poverty is a hissing and a reproach, despised by the rich and loathed by the poor. Verses of poets, also, are added to the account, verses which lend fuel to our passions, verses in which wealth is praised as if it were the only credit and glory of mortal man. People seem to think that the immortal gods cannot give any better gift than wealth, or even possess anything better. The sun god's palace, set with pillars tall and flashing bright with gold. Or they describe the chariot of the sun. Gold was the axle, golden eke the pole, and gold the tires that bound the circling wheels, and silver all the spokes within the wheels. And finally, when they would praise an epoch as the best, they call it the Golden Age. Even among the Greek tragic poets, there are some who regard pelf as better than purity, soundness, or good report. Call me a scoundrel, only call me rich. All ask how great my riches are, but none, whether my soul is good. None asks the means or source of your estate, but merely how it totals. All men are worth as much as what they own. What is most shameful for us to possess? Nothing. If riches bless me, I should love to live, yet I would rather die if poor. A man dies nobly in pursuit of wealth, money, that blessing to the race of man, cannot be matched by mother's love, or lisp of children, or the honor due one's sire. And if the sweetness of the lover's glance be half so charming, love will rightly stir the hearts of gods and men to adoration. When these last quoted lines were spoken at a performance of one of the tragedies of Euripides, the whole audience rose with one accord to hiss the actor and the play off the stage. But Euripides jumped to his feet, claimed a hearing, and asked them to wait for the conclusion and see the destiny that was in store for this man who gaped after gold. Bellerophon, in that particular drama, was to pay the penalty which is exacted of all men in the drama of life. For one must pay the penalty for all greedy acts, although the greed is enough of a penalty in itself. What tears and toil does money wring from us? Greed is wretched in that which it craves, and wretched in that which it wins. Think, besides, of the daily worry which afflicts every possessor in proportion to the measure of his gain. The possession of riches means even greater agony of spirit than the acquisition of riches. And how we sorrow over our losses, losses which fall heavenly upon us, and yet seem still more heavy. And finally, though fortune may leave our property in